Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So today I was joined by Age journalist Mark McGowan. I wanted to get his thoughts on the article he wrote the other day about the list demographic. Now, I talked a lot about the list in, I think it was Monday's episode with Mark and Frank. So it was interesting to get his thoughts on what he thinks of the list and this, what we've sort of done over the last few drafts. He was very short on time, so I appreciated him coming on. It wasn't a long interview, about half an hour. I had a million other questions for him, but I had to be quick. So, yeah, no, it was great to get him on. I'm sure you're sick of me rambling on. Let's get on, Mark, and talk about the North Melbourne Football Club. So today I welcome back a man that I hold in high regard and really value his journalism, and that's Mark McGowan. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show. And most people would know your history in following the North Melbourne Football Club. You covered them for a while with the AFL. Now, you did an article the other day, and I want to talk to you about that. I agreed with a lot of it, and I have a few questions about it. But just explain for the people that haven't seen it what the article was based around, and we'll go from there.
Look, thanks for having me, first of all, Dean. Look, for me, it was I'd finished watching the match, and our reporting of games has changed this year. Now that I'm at the Age now, and I've been there for about 18 months, and from our perspective, the match report is, in a lot of ways, it's dead. Fans don't really want to read match reports anymore. So we're evolving our coverage, and now we go into matches looking for the moments that matter, the talking points, something that we can grab onto and write about in depth that we think people will be more interested in than the blow-by-blow of a match that probably everyone's watched already anyway. So for me, watching that match the other day between North Melbourne and Carlton, for me, Carlton, what they did, that's exactly what we expected. We knew they'd win. Yep. We knew they'd probably win comfortably. The only real angle from the Blues was talking about those big key forwards. But for me, the story of the day was that they feasted it again on the North Melbourne defence. And that's a real area of concern from my perspective around the Kangaroos and what they're doing to address it. If you go back to 12 months ago, the same thing happened. Kerno and Mackay combined for 10 goals. This time they combined for 9 goals. A little bit of a different crew. The similar player was Aiden Corr. But this time he had, you know, a couple of new faces alongside him in Toby Pink and Callan Dawson, who have both come out of that second tier competitions. And let's be honest, they didn't have a lot of help from their midfielders. The ball was coming in at a rush. They were under pressure a lot. But I think what we also saw was that they weren't up to the task. I think that's fair to say. Toby's only just back in the AFL this year, so we've got to cut him a bit of slack. But whenever the ball came in, he looked panicked. There was a lot of holding free kicks. Kerno, in particular, was able to handle him quite easily in the air with a bit of subtle body work, just being smarter. And for me, that the issue there is they just haven't done enough to address this area. And they have had opportunities, and I know this has been a talking point amongst the North Melbourne fans on social media, but I don't think they've done enough. I'm not sure what your take on this is, but for me, they haven't done enough to address that end. And they have not done enough to address finding a sidekick for Nick Larkey, who cannot do it all by himself. There was a North Melbourne fan that I was engaging with in the last couple of days who doesn't believe they need any key forward help. And for me, I can't understand that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we've lost CCJ for the year, but he wasn't the answer, was he, Mark? Like, he'd been struggling.
Struggling big time. Absolutely, yeah. Is not the answer right now.
No, and you talked about Daniel Curtin in the article, and Clarkson
was fine with it and said, yeah, give it 10 years. And I've got no problem with Zane Dursley, and I'm sure you don't as well. A quality young footballer with a lot of potential. But it's we've got a lot of forwards that all do the same thing as well, Mark. You'll probably agree with this. Like, we'll go to that area first. Eddie Ford, Zane Dursma, Jaden Stevenson all do their best work, Paul Curtis as well, all do their best work inside the forward 50. They seem to struggle outside the forward 50. And you talked about a key forward. I mean, you know, we've had opportunities to get one, and that was Logan McDonald a few years ago. And that's that looks like it's going to really hurt now because we don't, yeah, like you said, we don't have that second key forward. We're hoping Tyler Sellers can be that answer. We still haven't seen him yet, and he's shown a lot in the VFL level. But at the end of the day, Mark, we've probably, in the drafts, probably the last 5 years, we've gone too many half-backers, half-back flankers, half-forwards, and midfielders. We haven't gone the key position players. It's probably fair to say that because outside of Nick Larkey, we don't have any key position players.
Well, this is my take on this. I have no issue. And even going back to that draft where the North Melbourne recruiters decided to go with Will Phillips, I actually wrote articles at the time in the months that followed defending Will Phillips and that decision. And this is why there's more context than what some of these, and to be honest, I'm going to say that they're getting emotional and they're getting very defensive on this topic. Yeah. And they have, I wrote another little piece in recent days, and that sort of sparked them up again. And for me, it's not the one-off decisions. It's that over repeated years. So let's say this rebuild seriously began at the end of 2000, when there was that massive cull of players. They traded and they delisted in a very, very strong fashion, and they have never recovered. And they're very much still on that recovery process and that rebuilding process right now. But going right back to that Will Phillips decision, they were very publicly clear since then and around that time. They wanted to start their rebuild from the midfield out. I have no issue with that. That's fine. And from what the recruiters have said at that time, they didn't see Logan McDonald as that stay-at-home, bullocking, contested marking key forward. They weren't certain about what he would become, et cetera, et cetera. As long as they stand by that, I've got no real issue with it. But it was a definite opportunity to bring someone in who we're seeing now is really starting to blossom. 32 goals last year, and this year he's gone to another level again. He's got an unbelievable work ethic. Yes, he's not going to take bulk contested marks. He's not your big pack-grabbing forward. But he's finding ways to kick goals, and his work ethic is incredible. And he would look so good right now alongside Nick Larkey and would take so much pressure away. The other name that comes up, and you can't ignore it, and it's Aaron Cadman. The facts are, in that mega deal where North Melbourne gave up the number one pick, yes, they ended up with George Wardlaw and Harry Sheezel, who are absolute stars of the future. I love George Wardlaw. How can you not, with the toughness he plays with, the skill, the talent, the ability? Harry Sheezel is dominating at halfback, and I'm looking forward to seeing him, you know, moving more into the midfield and whether that becomes a half-forward role as well. Who knows what he becomes, but we know he's going to be very, very good. But as we also know, you've got to give to get. Yes, you might have missed out on one of those two. So maybe, you know, who knows? They took Sheezel first in that draft. So maybe if they were only picking one, they may have only taken Sheezel. Who knows? Maybe they would have only taken Wardlaw if they were only taking one of them. We don't know that. We're never going to really know.
No.
But what we do know is they gave up that number one pick, which they knew the Giants were going to use on Aaron Cadman. Now, they had no intention of, they did not have Cadman above those two, and that's fine. But again, all of these decisions they're making, they're always prioritizing smaller players, midfielders, et cetera, et cetera. And they have not addressed the key position issues, particularly down back, but also in finding a sidekick for Nick Larkey. And now we're in the situation where Will Phillips, a number three draft pick who has shown some good signs. I think he's an AFL footballer. He can't get a game right now. He actually cannot get a game while there's this desperate need for a key position player at either end, and they've continually ignored them to bring more and more midfielders in. Clarko spoke post-match. He likes what Will Phillips is doing right now, but he also likes that Tom Powell's playing, you know, renewed quality football. So it's almost Powell, who's another first-round midfielder, versus Phillips, who they've spent a top three pick on. It's a frustrating situation when you look over the years. The individual decisions I have no issue with. What I do have an issue with is they've continually prioritised it. And yes, they've started to take a few later picks now, and maybe going back to the Charlie Comben years, they did as well. But all the times they've taken punts on talls, it's always been in the 30s, or now they've taken it, Will Dawson, it's pick 22. Should they have had a crack and traded down to get someone like a Connor O'Sullivan? Who knows? But they just haven't done enough, in my view.
No, I agree. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and I said at the end of last year that they probably should have been looking to trade Tarryn Thomas while his value was still high. And obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We didn't know what was going to happen. We've lost him for nothing, which is probably hurting a lot now, to be honest with you. But going back to Will Phillips, now, he was at the time, he was projected to go later in the first round, like around pick eight or pick nine. And I was very surprised at the time that Logan McDonald wasn't selected. But right now, Will Phillips can't get a game. And there's already talk that he's getting squeezed out because we have too many players for his spot. Charlie Lazaro, Tom Powell. We drafted a lot of players, midfielders, in the last three or four drafts or five drafts, effectively. He's out of contract at the end of the year, Mark. We wouldn't get more than a third rounder for him, would we, right now?
I don't think, you'd like to push for at least a second rounder, I would have thought. But, geez, you're certainly not going to get return for what you actually invested in him. That's for sure. And there's no doubt he'll play some AFL football this year. I think we know injuries happen. Not just that, he'll get an opportunity at some point. He's too good to be spending the whole year in the VFL. But, geez, you look at that midfield and, yeah, it looks really promising and exciting. But I just, until those ends, the key position spots are filled at either end, I just don't see how this club progresses and goes forward. And the problem is with guys like your Will Dawsons and these types of guys, even your Finbar Maleys that they grab in the rookie draft, they're going to take time. Will Dawson is a 200-centimetre project in a lot of ways. A lot of clubs did not have him in the top 40. There was a North Melbourne fan the other day that described him as highly touted. I don't know if that's actually accurate. I'm not saying he's not going to become a player, but North Melbourne liked him a lot more than most clubs. And that he is ultra competitive. That was what I heard from everyone. Even the clubs that didn't rate him, they said he's ultra competitive. But they also had some concerns. And I'm really interested to see. He is far from a certainty of making it. And this is the problem. When you start getting into the 20s, into the 30s, there's a reason these guys slide that far. There are always some sort of concerns. There's a flaw in their game. There's always a reason. And I think this is why, from my perspective, I keep going, well, why aren't they using some of these early picks on the best key position players? There's no certainty they're going to make it either. But there's a reason they go higher in the draft. And I'm just fascinated by what they do next and whether this path works for them. Because you know what? They might look like geniuses, but you're not always going to find a Nick Larkey at pick 70 or a Mitch Lewis in the 70s in the same year that like Hawthorn did. Those are exceptions to the rule. You can't expect that to happen all the time.
Oh, definitely not. And I think, drafting from about the 20s to about 50s, there's not much difference between the quality. You sort of... It's not so much a guess, it's a calculated guess that this player might make it. And I think with Will Dawson, I mean, we drafted on needs based. We got Taylor Goat as well around that area. A promising young ruckman that's going to take a long time, compared to Max Gorn, but he's still 2 or 3 years away. Even in the reserves, he's not doing much at the moment. Will Dawson showed a bit in the reserves, a good intercept player. But in saying that, Mark, now let's say we finish second last again this year, which you'd have to think that'll be North and West Coast bottom two.
And that would be 5 years in a row. 5 years in a row, not out of the bottom two.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, now it's a midfield heavy draft again. Can we just, I mean, how many times can you keep going to the draft market and just getting another midfielder? I mean, if we draft, I don't know who's there, but apparently it's someone that we might have to put in a forward pocket for a year because we've got nowhere else to put him, like a Colby McKercher, another player who's a midfielder, played his junior football in midfield, dominated, and we've had to put him in the back pocket because we've got too many players that in the midfield holding up spots for him. So we've had to
find... And I love Colby McKercher too, Dean. He's my favourite player from last year's draft, to be honest. I mean, I think everyone loves Harley Reid, but Colby McKercher for me, geez, he's a special player. He can play inside, outside. I think he's going to be a very, very good player for this club. And I actually really like Zane Dersma as well. Like, he's, you know, he's very classy and does a lot of great things. But is he, or was he, the absolute best pick for North Melbourne? I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Well, we'll talk about needs base. We don't have a small forward. We've got a number of half forwards.
I do really like Paul Curtis.
Yeah. No. We've got too many of the similar sort of player here, Mark. Zane Dersma, Eddie Ford, Paul Curtis, Cameron Zerha, all do their best work inside forward 50. Jaden Stevenson. I understand you go best available, but should we have maybe gone a little bit needs based and maybe gone Nick Watson?
Nick Watson looks like a special talent too, and I understand where you're coming from in that respect. But I actually would have liked them to trade down if they weren't going to take Daniel Curtin at that pick, and they didn't feel like he was a number one key defender, which absolutely other recruiters have had the same dilemma on Dan. He's going to be a really good player. He's probably not a number one key defender. And he's not, I don't think he's a midfielder either. I don't think he's a tall midfielder. But I think he could be a really good number two defender who is a real attacking intercept weapon down back. And I think that's where he's going to fit at Adelaide. I would have loved to see them find a way to trade down. And even if it was a Nate Caddy, get another key forward option in. Or go the Connor O'Sullivan route. I think that would have worked as well. And I just would have loved to see that sort of thinking. And if you trade down, you're obviously bringing in another. They could have brought in another pick maybe and got another kid. I don't know. I just would have liked to see that rather than just going down Nick. I don't think Nick Watson solves the issues that I see there. I really would have liked to see them find a way to be creative to bring in another tall. And ideally, that's a key defender, but I also would have applauded them massively if they'd taken the punt on a Nate Caddy. I think that fills a need too.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but I want to be respectful of your time, Mark. I mean, I guess just finishing on this, Brady Rawlings has been there for 5 years. I think that's enough to turn a list around. Should he be under a little bit more scrutiny for his drafting and trading in the last 5 years?
I think it's fair to at least everyone, not just him. I think it's fair to everyone's under scrutiny when a club has been down for as long as what we just discussed. I'm not saying they are going to finish bottom two again. I think a lot of people would say that's a very good chance that they could. I think they'd be hoping to move up a little bit higher than that. But if they were to finish bottom two again, 5 years running with a couple of wooden spoons thrown in there, That's such a long time. And I hear the fans saying things like, oh, we've got to show patience and all these sorts of things. How long? Is it a 10-year rebuild? That's an extraordinary amount of time. And again, I'm not seeing light at the end of the tunnel until I'm seeing some of these holes being filled. It's great having a quality midfield. I'm excited by this midfield. Davies Uniac is a star. You've got Jai Simkin in there still as well, who's only mid sort of 20s. Then you've got your Wardlaws. Sheasel will move in there. McKercher goes on and on. It's really exciting. But, you know, Tommy Powell, he's showing some really good signs. Lazaro's got some really great pace. Will Phillips, who knows what's going to happen with him? I would imagine he'll be moving on. But I'm just not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's where Brady probably does come under a bit of scrutiny. But again, you have to back these guys in because they're the experts, but you also, they're not above criticism. And for me, the criticism is that they just haven't done enough to address these list holes.
Well, since 2020, after round two, we beat GWS, we've won 10 games, Mark. So, yeah, I mean, they deserve to be under a little bit of scrutiny. So, yeah, okay. I mean, someone's got to come into scrutiny. We've got the best coach the last 30 years, and even he's trying to make square pegs into round holes. But, yeah, it is what it is, and hopefully you can turn around. But, I think it's a fair way off. And like you said, the bookends are the real problem at the moment. Just one more to finish off, Mark. I know you're very short on time. Cameron Zerha, Cal Toomey reported he's been offered 5 years to stay. Don't know the dollar amount. Based on his career, would you be offering him that? Let's say it's 5 years, around $3 million. You'd have to think it'd be around that sort of money. I haven't seen enough for him to suggest that he probably deserves that sort of money at the moment, Mark.
I think there are two things that need to be factored in here. When one, you are sort of guessing on what the wage is. Two, long-term deals are just part of the AFL now. 5 years isn't even that long, really. A lot of list managers see long-term deals now as an opportunity to, one, lock a player away, but two, having a contract there, it means they can use money and move it around a fair bit from year to year. So it gives them a bit of salary cap flexibility. Then finally, the new CBA that was signed last year means an absolute cash bonanza for AFL footballers. We're going to see... We already saw with the back pay last year a record number of millionaires, but that was only around 20-odd. We're going to see 50-plus millionaires in the years to come in the AFL. So that's a million per year. That's what this CBA is going to do. So when you talk about he hasn't done enough to earn $600,000, I know it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot to your average Joe like you and I, but $600,000 is not going to be a lot in the future in the AFL. Cam Zerha, whatever you say about him, yes, he's been inconsistent. Yes, you'd like to see more from him, but they cannot afford to lose him. They absolutely cannot. Letting Ben McKay go last year, one, it created an even bigger hole down back. They lost a key defender who could play on all the big key forwards. I understood why they did it because they think, well, ultimately, the contract was that good that the way the free agency system works, they got such a high pick for him that, you know, it was too good to give up, but too good to refuse sort of thing. But it's such a difficult one. You're letting quality players go out of a club that already lacks quality. And that was already a position of great need. And all it did was kick the rock further down the road. It's going to take even longer now. Yeah, Ben McKay goes out and effectively someone like a Will Dawson comes in. It's just moving the problems down further and further down the road. It lengthens the rebuild. And for me, you let a Zerha go and I just don't see the benefits there. But look, if a club ends up giving him big money and the pick's nice, they might be tempted again. But at some point, this footy club needs to hang on to their best players and say, yeah, great, we can get a high pick here, but why do we need to? We've already got someone we've invested a lot into who can play really good footy, and let's back ourselves in to develop him and make him a more consistent, quality AFL footballer. We know he has good relationships at the club. We know he's tough. We know he's got talent. We know he can kick goals and have an impact up forward. We know that that's an area we need to be better at. So let's back ourselves in to develop this guy and turn him into a quality player rather than, oh, he's got an offer elsewhere. Let's not fight for him.
Well, he's a restricted free agent, so we can match anything that is thrown our way, similar to Ben McKay. So, he sounds like, and I was talking to this on the podcast the other day, it sounds like he wants to, he's going to see how the year goes and he wants to see the direction of the club. So based on what I've seen now, you probably have to think that, he's probably not, he probably wants to leave at the end of the year. So Well, a lot's going to depend over the next 15, 16 weeks as to what his future holds. But, yeah, time will tell. Anyways, Mark, I know you're very short on time. I really appreciate you coming on today. Did you want to plug anything? Obviously doing great work at The Age, but anything else?
No, look, as long as you get The Age mentioned in there, my bosses will be happy. But, look, loving my work at The Age. It's been a great move for me to switch over there from News Corp, and I'm really loving it, and it's been a really interesting footy season so far. So no doubt there'll be lots of twists and turns to come. And for the Roos fans listening, look, it's not all doom and gloom. I'd just like to see a little bit more done. I know I've said it on repeat and probably 10 plus times, but I'd just love to see what the path forward is for the bookends.
Yeah, make sure you follow Mark's work. He does a really balanced view of stories about North Melbourne. He's not looking for hot takes. I think Mark's. It's fair to say you're almost a supporter of the club because you did follow him there for a couple of years with the AFL. So you do have the best interests at heart of the North Melbourne Football Club, don't you?
Oh, look, when you do cover a club as closely as I did all those years ago, you become so intimate with the playing group. You know a lot of the off-field staff, the coaches, and you do tend to follow them a lot more closely. But I've certainly got a soft spot for North Melbourne, but that doesn't mean I'm also going to be a pushover and just a cheerleader either. There's just a few things I'd like to see change.
No, I think, there's a few of us on board with that, Mark, so nothing wrong with that. I really appreciate you coming on, Mark. All the best for the weekend. I'm not going to mention what you're doing or anything like that. That's obviously a very private issue, but good luck with that.
I'm going to have to say now, Dean, because the way you've described that, it sounds like I could be doing anything. But, look, I'm competing in a physique competition this weekend. I'm weighing up writing something for The Age as well, so there might be something in the paper anyway that gives you a bit more info about what I've gone through. But I'm in the gym every day, I'm calorie counting, and I'm very, very low body fat right now, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, no, so don't go into Mark's DMs asking for pictures or anything like that. I don't think he can do that. So, yeah, just look out for his article. I'm really interested in this. I know a few people have done it, so good on you, Mark, for doing that. It's definitely going to be out of your comfort zone. So hopefully you do well, but the most important thing is that you're taking a step towards doing it. Anyways, Mark, all the best, and I will chat to you at some point in the future when you have a bit more time and we can go deeper into the North Melbourne stuff.
Thanks, Dean. All the best with the podcast.
So thank you very much to Mark for coming on once again and maybe send him a message, wish him well for his competition, his physique competition on Sunday. He's obviously put a lot of time and effort into that, and it's a good little, hobby to have outside of the stresses of a high pressure job that he does do for The Age. So good on him with that. Anyways, that's it for today. I will be back tomorrow. I will obviously have team news tomorrow, so there'll be a lot to discuss there. So once again, thank you very much to all your lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, comments, telling your friends about the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you can do all those fun things, leave a rating. It would be much appreciated. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed having Mark on. So I'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now, and go Roos.